Welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald. We are sponsored today by MD West One, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering greater Omaha for over 70 years. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me via Zoom is Mike Sauter, and our special guest, former Nebraska linebacker, Lincoln native Luke Gifford. Thanks for joining us today, Luke.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Lincoln Southeast star, multi-sport star, Luke Gifford.
I don't know about all that. We'll go with multi-sport, no star.
Well, Luke is now a linebacker with the Dallas Cowboys. Spent year one there as an undrafted free agent. What was the biggest thing you learned transitioning from Nebraska to the Cowboys?
Man, there's a lot. You know, the first years, it's a marathon just with pro day and all the training and stuff. And then it's just a really long year, you know. But I think the biggest part was just picking up the playbook, you know, because they kind of just toss you into the fire and it's like you're either going to pick it up or you're not. So you get some reps here and there, but you're, for the most part, you're behind, you know, all the vets and the older guys. And you kind of just got to ear hustle, you know, when they're asking questions and stuff in meetings and playing and getting their reps, you got to take reps with them. So I think that was the hardest part, was just figuring out ways to get more reps through, like, just watching them and listening to them and the things that they do and say. Because if you don't do that, then there's no way you can catch up and get to the point where you're actually out there just flying around and having fun. So
do you think the injury you had, it kind of set you back a little bit as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, I felt like I was in a position to get some playing time there. You know, if I kept playing the same way I was playing in preseason, I think I probably would have been a rotational guy. So that really set me back, especially, you know, like I was talking about the playbook, when you go 6 to 7 weeks without any reps, it's almost like it's not relearning it, but there's so many like weekly adjustments and stuff like that, that you don't really get to actually partake in. You know, you sit in meetings and you understand what's going on, but when you don't get reps at it, it's hard. So it took me a little bit to get back into it. And, you know, by the time I was at that point, it was pretty late in the season. And then I broke my arm actually, right when I was getting ready to play again. So it was frustrating from that standpoint, but I'm pretty happy with where I was at.
And speaking of catch-up time, pro days, this is a really important time for people in your situation, undrafted, late-round prospects for the NFL draft that now, like you're doing, are having to do, you know, workouts, not able to meet with teams, not able to go to a lot of teams' top 30 events. What are these players missing out on, and how can they get caught up?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really hard. I'm glad that I didn't have to go through it. I feel bad for those guys, you know, because you put a lot of work in just to get that opportunity at pro day. You know, I think the biggest thing is at the end of the day, you know, if you have some good film and you put stuff on film the last 4 years, then they have something to fall back on. You know, it's the guys that didn't necessarily, for whatever reason, you know, could be injuries or just the situation they're in, didn't really get that opportunity. It's those guys that it really hurts. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I think the biggest thing is you just got to stay ready, because at the end of the day, you know, the draft is already kind of a crapshoot, and especially at the later rounds. So you never really know what can happen. But even this year especially, you know, with the way that the pro days have gone, I think it's going to be more so. You'll see guys and teams taking reaches for guys that you might not know as much about. So I think it's really, you just got to stay positive. And then when you get your opportunity, you know, you get into mini camp or training camp or whatever it may be, if we even have an OTA or mini camp, just when you get your chance, you're going to have to take advantage of it for sure.
Just sticking with the draft, do you feel like it was a better situation for you to go undrafted rather than be a 6th, 7th round pick? Cause then you could kind of pick where you wanted to go.
Yeah, honestly, no doubt. I think, you know, I was obviously hoping to get drafted there, 5th, 6th round, like early 6th. I thought I had a chance. There's a couple teams that, you know, draft day is just crazy. Your phone's just lighting up and you never really know what's going to happen. And then some teams are calling because they want you as a free agent. But then there's, you know, linebacker coaches texting you, telling you that, hey, I'm really lobbying for you here. Like, we'll see what happens. But so it's just kind of a whirlwind. But I remember for me, like, late 6th, 7th round, I was actually hoping that I wasn't getting drafted by someone other than the Cowboys, because I knew that Dallas was probably one of the best situations for me, given what I had, the conversations I had had with the linebacker coach and the other coaches there. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it'd be awesome to be drafted at that point. But, for me, it probably couldn't have worked out any better just because Dallas was an ideal situation. So
what are your goals for year two with the Cowboys?
You know, I think, I'm always going to have a huge impact on special teams. That's where I'll make my money. And then, you know, is we got three really good starting linebackers, you know, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, and Sean Lee. Those guys are pros, you know, they're the best at what they do. So, you know, for me, it's just being ready. When I get my opportunity, I got to take advantage of it. That's what it's all about. You know, it's a long season. People go down. So just staying ready. And I just want to be healthy, you know, have a full healthy year, make an impact on special teams. And then when my number's called, be able to go out there and help the defense in whatever way I can.
So you're like the linebacking Don Beebe. Remember him?
Yep. Yes, sir. You can say that.
Real quick, just touch on the draft again too. Did it kind of remind you when it late Saturday, you know, when it's sixth, seventh round and you're thinking, don't draft me, don't draft me.
Right.
But your phone's still ringing. Is it kind of like the recruiting process? Did that take you back to when you're being recruited in high school?
Yeah, for sure. But it's like all condensed into one day. You know what?
Right.
Like you talk to teams before the draft, and most of the teams you talk to before the draft are teams that know that they're probably not going to draft you, and they're kind of trying to put their two cents in for free agency. Mm-hmm. So it was the teams that I didn't hear from that I was more worried about, because I had gone on a couple pre-draft visits, and usually if you go on a pre-draft and then you don't hear anything from them, it's usually probably pretty good. Like they're thinking about it, you know? And so that was kind of what I was thinking. I hadn't heard from the Saints or the Vikings, and they both had a few picks in the seventh round. And so I was like, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. I thought I could go at any time, but I had already really pretty much set my mind on Dallas. So, and then, you know, you got other people that are coming in late, and literally as soon as the draft is over, it's like your phone just starts blowing up. Mm-hmm. And on top of the teams that were previously in it, you know, teams were calling you on early Saturday morning and trying to get their two cents in. But yeah, it's a crazy experience, man. It's nuts.
And now you're in Lincoln during the off season training with Chris Slapp.
Yep. I've been back in Lincoln. I came back a couple weeks into January, so I've been training with Slapp here for the last couple months.
And I saw a few former Huskers have been joining you doing that as well. How's that been helping you guys during this dead period?
Yeah, it's been huge. You know, we got a few guys over there, Nate Gary, and then Seathan. They both came back to train with Slatt, and then Bando's over there, Gerald Foster, B. Riley, all those guys. So it's been huge to have him around. I mean, it's really nice to work out with other guys that are at the same point. You know, our workouts are always competitive. We're always getting after it, and we're all good friends, you know, so it's nice to have those guys around. It's been a good little escape, you know, from everything going on. We can go over there and kind of just focus on something else for a while.
What is the NFL or Cowboys, has there been any communication of what they want you guys to be doing, staying healthy during this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had a lot of communication with our strength staff. Right now it's we're kind of just planning for the worst, you know, not being able to do OTAs or mini camp. So they've sent us like kind of a 2-month workout plan that they want us to be on top of. And then, you know, I guess if we get good news and we can come back earlier, then we'll take that on when it comes. But right now we're kind of just planning on that. And I think we're actually going to start doing virtual meetings here sometime next week, because I was supposed to be back April 6th because we got a new coach. We can come back earlier. So I think we're going to start doing meetings and stuff online next week. So yeah, it's weird, but we're just going to kind of have to make the most of it.
I wonder what that's going to be like. Is it going to be like, hey, I'm standing in front of a board and here's these players?
Yeah. Honestly, it probably will be, which, you know, I'm glad that, like, these are the times where I'm glad that I've had so much experience and had so many different coaches, just from like the verbiage and the different ways of teaching things. So that'll help me out a lot, but it's never easy to just look at a board and like understand something, you know. You got to get some reps. So if we don't end up having OTAs or mini camp, it'll be tough to just go into training camp and pick up a whole new system.
What's your take on? I know there's the NFL draft's gonna happen. The date is gonna happen as planned, not you know people.
Right.
So it's gonna be kind of like when the draft first was a thing, when like they just called and there was your pick, and there isn't a green room or anything. What's your take on that? Do you think it should happen, or do you think they should wait?
You know, honestly, the way I see it is like, I think from like the experience standpoint for those guys that are going to be first, second round draft picks to get invited to the draft, that's a once in a lifetime deal. But at the same time, you've been waiting for this for so long. I remember just being so anxious to get it over with at this point in time that it's kind of like, you know, if you're not going to get your, if you're a guy that hasn't had a pro day and you're not going to get your opportunity for a pro day, like prolonging it is almost just worse, you know? So if there's a way to do it and get it done that's safe and can be on TV and everybody can, you know, get the same experience or the experience that the most experience out of it that you can, then yeah, I'm for it. It's just, it's a hard situation, but no one wants to keep waiting. I know that, especially the guys who've been training.
Really, in that situation, this is just not necessarily a question, but I mean, you're talking about guys in the green room is maybe 45 out of seven rounds.
Right. So there's not very many guys that really even get that experience. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's not a whole lot different than those 40 guys.
The four-hour first round is a made-for-TV event, let's be honest.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, I'm all in. Let's go. Like, let's have it tomorrow.
I need something to watch. I know that.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for someone like your brother, Isaac Gifford, who is starting his first spring at Nebraska, going into learning a new system and learning a new college campus, or maybe not even on campus yet? What advice would you have for someone in a recruiting situation?
Yeah. It's just such a unique situation. You know, I think at the end of the day, you're so young, you got a lot of time. You know, it's like I think they're going to start doing meetings and stuff if they can, just virtual stuff. I don't really know how that works, but if they can do those things, that's great. I know for him, you know, he had that shoulder surgery, so he was going to miss spring ball anyways. So for him, it's probably not quite as big of a deal as it is for some of those other guys that came in early. Because those reps just mean so much, you know. I mean, if you're going to come in early, the whole idea is that you get those reps and understand the defense so that when you come into training camp or fall camp, you're ready to roll, you know. So that's hard. But for the guys at home, you know, I don't think it really changes too much. At the end of the day, you're going to have to come in the summer and work your tail off and learn the defense faster than everyone else to be able to play anyways. So I think it kind of just depends on whether or not you're an early enrollee or you're going this summer. But yeah, it's definitely tough, and it's frustrating for the guys that got there already.
So you're talking about spring kind of leading into fall to help you get them ready. What are teams going over during those spring practices?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is, like, I know a lot of teams will install new stuff, kind of play around with some stuff to see if they like it. You know, I don't really know what they're doing at Nebraska. I haven't talked to Isaac about it that much, but I know for the young guys, like, that was one of the biggest jumps I made was in spring ball. I think it was going into my junior year. I made my biggest jump, and that was really probably one of the biggest reasons why I played and had a pretty good junior year until I had my hip surgery, was because I played well in spring ball. It kind of clicked for me finally, and then I got the opportunity to take the momentum over into fall camp, and that was the rest is kind of history, you know. But so that's a lot that happens for a lot of guys is you finally get a bunch of reps in spring ball, and then it clicks for you, and you kind of take off a little bit.
What's your personal read? Do you think that college football and NFL will start on time?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I sure hope it does. I guess it probably wouldn't really surprise me if, like, there were no fans, or there was some. They did something to have the games, but it just wasn't what we're used to, you know. So, man, I really hope there's fans and everything goes on as normal. But it's hard to say right now. I think it's probably just a little too far out to make that decision or know what's coming.
Well, Luke, I want to thank you again for joining us today. Hopefully this is the first of many off-season interviews that we're able to do with some former Huskers, some former Nebraska high school athletes. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. Good luck this season with the Cowboys. And until next time, thanks for listening.
As the official team doctors for high school and college teams across Greater Omaha, MD West One Sports Med Doctors can get you back into the game stronger than ever. Meet the Sports Med team at MDWestOne.com or call 402-390-4111.